I can relate to that because I used to travel cross country too.
Yeah.
And when I was more punk rock looking, it drew a lot more attention.
Definitely.
So eventually I started just trying to assimilate, and I found I could, you know, accomplish more. And do you feel like that?
Oh, no, definitely. I can get away with a lot more. And it also has a lot to do with just sustainability in terms of living a life that sometimes might be outside the law. It's a lot easier and a lot more sustainable to avoid detection.
Plus, you don't have to steal hair dye and all that.
Right, exactly. But even like something like shoplifting food, it's just so much easier when you know.
Well, I commend you for remaining, you know, autonomous and not having to, you know, submerge yourself in any particular type of subculture. Because that's what I do too. I do a lot of different types of activism, and I kind of slip between the cracks too.
Yeah.
So I think it's commendable not to get sucked into one groupthink.
It's good to hear that.
Anarchism or anything like that.
It's good to finally hear that from someone, because I generally just get nothing but criticism for that.
Yeah, I've been hearing, I think I heard, this was a few months ago, some criticism and some type of critique. I was reading some dean or something about people getting on your case about certain things, but I think that's just because you've remained so independent from, you know, like the swarm. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely don't move in the circles that Evasion moves in.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my friends, or a lot of my friends, haven't even read it, don't care about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in sort of the circles where Evasion circulates most, I don't really have a presence, and I think people think that that's because I'm somehow, like, too good for them or something. But honestly, I just never move in those circles to begin with. Like, I was never really in that sort of, you know, puppet-making, like, dreadlock kind of anarchist culture and or subculture. And so it's not going to change just because I write a book.
Are you straight edge?
I'm straight edge, and I'm vegan, and those two things are really important to me. And those are also two things I think in the future I'm going to try to maybe push a little bit more in my writing, because I think those are things that are very much overlooked by the crowd that reads Evasion.
Have you been able to, so you've been successful to remain straight edge and vegan, even doing dumpster diving and
absolutely.
Types of things?
Absolutely. That's one thing I think is really important to kind of get across, is that you can be vegan in any number of circumstances. I've had people who are vegan in prison, vegan in like all corners of the world, and it's not something, you don't have to compromise your ethics just because of a lifestyle choice.
That's good, yeah, because I'm a lapsed vegan, because when I went on my own, I started when I was having dumpster diving and whatnot on the streets, ended up, you know, having to eat government cheese and that sort of thing. So I commend you for not being having to do
that. Oh,
thank you,
thank you.
Because it's not easy, you know, but it just takes thinking.
To me, veganism is non-negotiable, and so from there, it's just, it actually does feel easy, just when you don't leave that option open. It's just not something to do that.
Would you recommend your life to anyone else? Or are you just kind of writing how you feel?
Yeah, it's just very much like a personal testimony. I'm not really I don't feel comfortable proselytizing.
Mm-hmm.
And I also understand that, like, the stuff I write about isn't applicable to a lot of different demographics.
Right.
So it would definitely be way out of line for me to be telling anyone how they should live.
Do you have a P.O. box where people can send you dollar bills or stamps?
Absolutely, yeah. They can order, I have a couple of zines available.
Okay.
The address is Evasion, 245M, Mount Hermon Road, mailbox 124, Scotts Valley, California, 95066.
Okay.
And also have a new website, which should be up in like 3 or 4 days.
Okay.
It's www.xevasionx.com.
Okay. Thank you, Matt, and keep up a good fight, and thanks for talking.
Great, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
So, sort of the Anarchist Cafe, I wanted to give a plug for my article dedicated to the anarchist community called Get Your Head Out of the Proverbial Dumpster. It's in Zen Baby number 11, available at Streetlight, so please support and buy zines at Streetlight, especially mine. Thanks.
Where can one get this locally?
Streetlight Records and Herland. Herland is going out of business, so that really needs to be supported as well. Great little store. And so buy zines and support your zine community. Small press. Free press.
Cool.
No free press.
Thank you.
I'm done.
He's done. Ron Golder.
And now interview with Jon Golder, where was also found lurking about the anarchist gathering on Friday night on North Grand Supporting.
We caught you reading a zine here at the the main table at the Anarchist Cafe. Why aren't you in jail?
Because they don't want me there, I guess. Not for the moment.
You were held in jail for what, 4 or 5 hours?
Now,
were you engaged in destructive behavior at Parks and Rec, ripping up, threatening people, throwing things through the window? What exactly did you do that caused them to come and take you away 3 weeks ago from the Parks and Rec Department?
I was hanging out with you. I think that was the reason.
Ah. You were actually doing some research work, right?
Yeah, I was looking at some files.
And was it that you had seized forbidden files and you were antagonizing the staff of the Parks and Rec? What was it?
No, it's because I was hanging with you.
Well, there you are. Stay away from Uncle Robert. So, how did they treat you in jail?
They didn't treat me.
It wasn't a treat?
They ignored me. No, it wasn't a treat at all.
Now, they were going to bail you on $500 bail.
It took them 6 hours to book me.
You tried to go to court because you were accused of violating a, quote, restraining order, right?
Yeah.
When you went to court, I guess, two or three days ago, lo, the charge had disappeared.
Well, they couldn't. They haven't filed the charge.
They gave you a court date, but they hadn't filed. So yeah. They wanted you to, what?
Well, standard.
It was a party, but they didn't come.
That you're right. You're right.
That's a lynching party.
No, they didn't. They didn't follow through.
Didn't show up at the rope.
They probably will. They'll probably mail me if they decide, you know, or maybe they just had their fun arresting me and that's it. We don't know yet.
So it was your impression, though, as I understand it, that any restraining orders had expired as of last August. That was your understanding?
It was my understanding.
Now, when you checked the record, did you find your understanding was an error, or is it still ambiguous as far as you're concerned?
It's probably ambiguous.
So there may have been a mistake made by the... I don't want to suggest the police make mistakes in this way, but could the police have made a mistake?
I think the whole court system made a mistake, yeah.
I see. Now, what about Dick Wilson? Has he made any mistakes in this whole matter?
He's doing fine. He's close to retirement, Robert.
The sooner the better.
He hasn't made any mistakes. He just does what they tell him to and lets the city go to hell. That's, you know.
This is the same city manager that actually barred you from all city offices in November of 2002, right?
Not a nice guy. No, not at all.
And you were charged with all kinds of things, but eventually you were convicted only of banging a police car door and creating...
convicted of that.
You pled to
it. To it, yeah.
Now, what was the story? Your dog was outside and they were threatening to take your dog?
They were taking my dog away and they wouldn't come and talk to me. And I wanted to get their attention and they rolled the window up on me. So I beat the hell out of the door until... it was actually open a ways.
That's one tactic. Have you considered doing a discussion of it for the anarchist cafe here?
Oh, I don't know. These people.
Techniques for getting police attention?
Yeah, I think all these people get more than enough attention from the police.
Now, you were twice charged with resisting arrest because you didn't go quietly when the police arrested you. What? You have mixed feelings about that.
About... not going quietly.
Right. In other words, I've heard you both criticize yourself for making an unwise choice, but also recognize that there's a certain amount of, you know, justification in resisting an unjust arrest.
Well, I don't think we should make it easy for them to drag us off when we really don't feel that they have any grounds to do it. At the same time, you don't want to scare a cop because they ain't going to help you. And the cops have scary jobs, there's no question about it. And once they think you're scary, you know.
Well, if they think you're scary, they might actually bow down to you because the police chief's name is Howard Scary.
They gang up on you and they keep their eye on you. And you don't want to be in that situation.
All puns aside. So, you've been around Santa Cruz now for how long?
Too long.
And why are you still here, given the kind of treatment they're giving you?
When I get enough money, Robert, it's adios. Just come back to visit.
So send your checks to Yon Golder, care of Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, make sure there's some zeros in there. Put some goose eggs on the back.
Thank you for taking this opportunity to give us the latest update, Yon.
You're more than welcome.
I ran into Yon. I ran into Yon at the Anarchist Cafe, as I said. I was worried because I hadn't seen him since he was arrested 3.5 weeks ago when he was walking with me peacefully into Parks and Rec. We looked for non-existent files. to try to find out what's the scoop at Lighthouse Field, why they're banning camping vehicles during the day and restriping the whole area and putting in logs and so forth. We aren't much further than we were before. In fact, I received an email communication from Steve Hammack, who's in head of that department, saying that there are no files for 2004, no emails, no written communications whatsoever that describe any kind of orders or discussion around what they're doing up at Lighthouse Field. It's all simply, quote, improvements that were justified and documented prior to 2004. If you believe that, I have a nice bridge in Brooklyn I'd like you to take a look at, but that's all the information I have on at the moment. Yon Golder, as I said, was arrested and hauled off to jail, but at his court date, suddenly there were no charges filed, indicating, again, either a disconnect between the police and the district attorney, a false arrest, or possibly some further confusion, who knows what. But it's interesting how people who are the subject of prior, who have won settlements against the police department, or those who are activists, get the hassle. Yun is an activist. He's been fighting to get his vans, to get compensation for vans the city took. It's a whole long story with his struggle, and I hope he is successful. I also hope he is able to continue his work on projects he's done with Huff, which is to try to help us advise other people of their rights around what's becoming increasingly important area, vehicular parking. They won't so much give you tickets for sleeping and for camping, although they still do, and they certainly harass people for that. But a lot of parking tickets, you go after vehicles. And that's the way they avoid even the semblance of the judicial process, because there's now an administrative so-called civil process for vehicles. You don't get before a judge without extensive bail and difficulties and appeals and so forth. One more thing about the Anarchist Cafe. It was a benefit to some extent for the Anarchist Info Shop, I believe, which is now open in Santa Cruz 7 days a week, 509 Broadway. I'm reading from the notice. I hope the times are accurate. 3 through 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 11 through 7 Saturday and Sunday. So it's open all day today until 7 down there at 509 Broadway in the basement. Check it out. Books, zines, pamphlets for sale and free, an anarchist lending library, free herbal tea upon visit, social center, and meet other riffraff, internet and self-publishing resources forthcoming, a place for your meetings to begin, anarchist discussion group, direct action revolution, eco-defense, self-organization, mutual aid, gender funking, prisoner support, destroying civilization, foraging, dropping out, living free, and everything else. So, check it out, 509 Broadway, today till 7 o'clock. And then on the more boring city council scene, there's a Wednesday meeting around the issue of the widening of Highway 1 for all you middle-classers or even environmentalists interested around that issue. I know that our producer, Becky Johnson, recently wrote an email where she opposed highway widening because she compared its cost, which is apparently, what is it, $20 million a year, $400 million. I'm not quite sure exactly what where she gets a figure from, but she says that $6,000 per person per year will end homelessness in Santa Cruz, yet they want to spend this money on the highway widening, which many environmentalists and activists believe will simply bring more vehicles. That's coming up on Wednesday, the City Council at the Civic Auditorium, not the normal City Council chambers, but at the Civic, will be having a town hall meeting June 2nd, 7 p.m. at the Civic, and this will take a position on the sales tax at the June 2nd meeting. $400 million apparently is being proposed in the sales tax to widen Highway 1, and People Power is against it. I'm not going to read their letter on the air because I believe hopefully other shows are covering this, but specifically, there's no council meeting on Tuesday that I'm aware of, but there is one on Wednesday, as I said, and it only covers this transportation issue. There's no oral communications at 7, but it does allow you for an opportunity to speak, provided Scott Kennedy likes what you're saying, or even if he doesn't, if he feels he doesn't want to suppress you or interrupt you or whatever, he may let you go on. There's going to be a presentation by the Santa Cruz County Regional Transportation Commission on the expenditure plan sales tax measure for 20 minutes after Kennedy has made 5 minutes of opening remarks. Members of the public will be public will be given time to address the council by within time limits set up by the mayor and maybe be revised throughout the meeting so the mayor does what he wants. Public comment is supposedly going to conclude at 9:30, giving the council the opportunity to take action, those three actions, actually four actions proposed in their agenda. Alternatives: one, they can support the proposed expenditure plan, November 2004 sales tax measure for transportation infrastructure improvements, that is, the widening of Highway 1, also the rail corridor, local streets and roads, maintenance and improvements. Or they can oppose the expenditure plan, or they can remain neutral, take no position on it, or they can take other action. So go check it out if you want. The next regularly scheduled council meeting is the second Tuesday in June, June 8th, at the regular place, City Council Chambers. So, let's return to the mall, I should say, to the sidewalk in front of Borders, and you'll hear a little bit of what about what happened down there after last Thursday's show. The show also airs 6 to 8 on Thursday evenings, and now you get a taste of that. We're talking to a hungry soup slurper. It's about 5:25 in front of Borders on May 27, 2004, Thursday evening, overcast day. What's your name, sir?
Douglas.
Douglas, first of all, what do you think of the soup?
It's very delicious.
Well, you've tried it, or you're just saying?
Well, I already ate a bean just now with my fingers.
You actually had one bean already. Now, you also say that your bag disappeared last night?
Yes, my bag, with my pictures and my Bible in it.
Now, where were you, if you don't want to mind telling me, where were you sleeping?
Under the bridge by the train trestle.
And you had stashed the bag, or somebody just dumped you out of the bag?
No, I stashed that bag in a secret spot, and some crackhead uncovered my secret spot, slipped my pillow, which is inside this bag with no stuffing, used for patch of it pretty soon. And then, now my bag, no evidence, no trace, gone.
So what are you going to do tonight? And actually, that's before the last Bathurst Spears broadside show, and we will spin ahead now to give you what happened after the show, but first, a little bit more from Phil Oakes.
That's it. Every time.
She's arriving like the dropping of the rain, and a mountain of machinery will fall before a man when your white boots marching in a yellow land. It's written in the ashes of the village towns we burn. It's written in the empty beds of fathers unreturned. And the chocolate in the children's eyes will never understand when your white boots marching in a yellow land. Red blow the bugles of the dawn. The morning has arrived, you must be gone. And the lost patrol chase their chartered soul like old horse. Fighting by your side, and never turn your back if the battle turns the tide. For the colors of a civil war are louder than commands when your white boots marching in a yellow land. Blow them from the forest and burn them from your side. Tie their hands behind their backs and question through the night. But when the firing squad is ready, they'll be spitting where they stand at the white boots marching in a yellow land. Red blow the bugles of the dawn. The morning has arrived, you must be gone. tired soul, like a old horse following tired army. The comic and the beauty queen are dancing on the stage. Raw recruits are lining up like coffins in a cage. Oh, we're fighting in a war we lost before the war began. We're the white boots marching in a yellow land. And the lost patrol chased a chartered soul.
And that's Yellow Boots, no, White Boots, Marching in a Yellow Land. Phil Oakes, one of his best songs, I like it. About Vietnam, but it may have some local applicability these days. I've got an incoming call here. Hi, you're on Clear Radio.
Yeah, hi, Robert. This is Christopher Robin.
Aha, the man who interviewed Max Evasion.
Yes, and I hope you mentioned that it is free and it's available at Streetlight Records.
You mentioned it, actually,
okay,
right after
good.
the whole interview.
Okay.
I actually found Evasion magazine with me.
Uh-huh.
You wanted me to read some section of it?
I just think it's really amazing writing, and I just wanted to do a plug for it, and you did the interview, but if you want to read something, that's fine, too.
Well, actually, I have not looked at it very carefully, but it's about living out there on your lonesome outside the strictures, right?
Yes, living off the grid and just never working and living for free. And experiencing joy and adventure with every day, pretty much.
You yourself write a zine. You were saying that yourself and putting a plug for it.
Yeah, I do. I do a lot of distribution and promotion for other zines, and I do my own, too. So I'm just really a big advocate of free press, what there's left of it.
And you occasionally show up at the SAFE event, Society for Artistic Freedom of Expression, lingering around the Huff table.
I almost every week. Yeah.
On Wednesday evening, you're there.
True.
Serving soup and hanging out. Maybe even, I haven't seen you singing much.
No, I don't sing much, but I love the music, so that's why I show up. And
that's
I like to support.
We take back the mall every Wednesday between 6 and 9, playing illegally without a permit. Sort of like free radio broadcasts out there in front of New Leaf Market, and other people are invited to join us. Did you have any other thoughts?
I want to plug up. We're going to start poetry open mics downtown starting on June 11th, since there's a lack of poetry open mics. There actually aren't any that aren't really focused on music, so we want to put the emphasis on poetry, and it's going to be starting June 11th at the Wired Wash. Sign-up is at 7 o'clock, and the reading starts at 7:30, so everyone is welcome next to Saturn Cafe.
That sounds good.
That will be hosted by Brian Morrissey, who does Posey Magazine here in town.
He does what magazine?
He runs Posey Magazine. It's a poetry magazine out of Santa Cruz.
Brian Morrissey of Posey Magazine?
Yeah, Posey.
Posey?
Yeah.
Cool.
And so I just wanted to plug that and tell everyone to please come down.
And so you have. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
All
bye.
Right. Phone lines are open, 427-3772. We have received confirmation, as mentioned before, that Dave Meserve, Arcata City Council member, will be calling in sometime in the next, sounds like in the next half hour, so that sounds good. But until then, you're welcome to call in. I got plenty to read about the ongoing Iraqi genocide, or call it conscience aside. We have an incoming call. Hi, you're on Free Radio yet again.
Hey, Rob.
Hi.
My nephew got busted a couple months ago for a minor offense.
Oh, no.
Sort of like you guys were talking about earlier.
Uh-huh.
And he had to pester them for a month just to get a court date.
Huh.
And if he didn't stay on it, he would have probably missed his, too.
Well, what kind of a minor offense?
drunk in public. He's like 19 years old. Not a big serious crime, but he was still persistent about calling him every couple of days to find out what the hell was going on.
And did they give him a court date?
Oh, yeah, but he had to pester them. He had to be a pest.
And was he convicted of anything?
Yeah, it was minor drunk in public thing.
But he didn't get hauled away to the Hooskow for 5 days.
No, but I mean, he still had to harass them to get any information. It was a pain in the butt.
You got to keep on their... Keep on their butt, or they will give you a pain in yours, I guess.
I guess that was the whole gist of that conversation earlier with that lady.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it seems to be. And as far as Highway 1, why would you raise the sales tax to pay for that? It's a state highway, not a city street.
Well,
let Sacramento deal with it.
Well, you got to get the money, you know, from somewhere, and why not grab you?
But the point is, we ain't the only ones who use a state highway.
Indeed, and the point has been made by some that these are commuters from over the hill who use it a lot. I guess some would say they provide local...
Turn it into a toll road. Make them pay to use it.
There you go.
They did that down in Orange County with a state highway. You know that one.
Yeah, I know it's been done in some states quite extensively. I don't know what the impact has been or what the relative, you know,
consequences. The only thing I can think of doing better than that is raise the gas tax. Get the people that drive on it.
Oh, now, come, you don't want to enrage the folks in the SUVs even more, do you?
Well, they're using the damn thing. I don't even have a car anymore.
They might go postal on us, you know? And they got these machines that can smash you pretty quickly.
Well, those SUVs are getting less popular because people can't afford them. They're having trouble selling them now. You notice that?
You sound delighted. You know, what kind of an American are you, son?
Well, I don't need no SUV. I don't blame people having cars, you know, if they need one. But I don't need no SUV anymore. I need an Abrams tank to get 8 miles to the gallon.
Big cutbacks in transportation routes, too, as mentioned in the Sentinel on Saturday. I was hoping we might get a call from Paul Marcel and Sampson. Maybe my producer can get on the line.
Oh, yeah. You know, another one who got hit by that, though. She, remember that militia leader who used to be on KSCO?
Richard Quigley?
No, Dave Allen.
Oh, Dave, yeah.
Yeah, okay. He got sick, right?
Yeah.
And then they cut back the bus routes by his house. And now he can't get lift line service because no bus goes by his door.
I remember. I was hearing about that on KSCO, actually.
Yeah, he's real pissed off about that.
Yeah. Well, I think that public transportation is key. I mean, you know, I don't use it much, of course.
Where I'm at, I get like 2 different buses going by the house. So I don't really need no damn car that bad.
You're a biker?
I got a bicycle if I need one, but generally I do the feet.
You walk.
Yeah, most of the time.
Yeah, I do more walking, but I generally use a car to get down here and back.
Well, it depends on how close you are, you know, and stuff.
It does, it does.
You know, it's a lot of things. But just to walk up to the store to get me some food, I don't need no damn SUV. It's only about 4 blocks.
Yeah, but I'd rather have people carry me to the store and back. You know.
But yeah, let's raise the gas taxes to pay for the highway, and let's not just do it here in this town. Let's do it regionally, at least, if not statewide. Where in the hell is John Laird and McPherson? Do your jobs.
Thank you, caller.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, you can call in, too. Give me your thoughts, 427-3772. And while I'm waiting for this flood of calls, let's hear some more interviews from the street.
Talking with this questionable, obviously criminal individual here sitting on the bench. He looks very suspicious. He has a backpack that's black. He wears a black leather jacket. Very questionable. Getting too many details. In any case, this was a guy who was, taking a nap in the park yesterday or the day before, 2 days ago, when he was approached by 3 police officers and told that he was intoxicated. The man denies it. He was simply taking a nap. And you say he was taken off to the Hooskow. Is this true? The jail. Yes, he nods. He doesn't wish to be on tape, however. But I'm glad to see our police are in action taking care of these master criminals who are slyly hiding in the park. You can never be too careful. Thank you, sir. We're talking with John, who has been on the table, the Huff table, in front of Borders, and it's about 8:15 on Thursday night, the 27th. What's been happening, John?
Well, it's been pretty quiet except for one incident with the police.
And what happened there?
Well, this young woman was arrested. I'm not sure what for, but they're doing the usual bit of twisting her arm while they were trying to handcuff her.
This was fairly near the table. Your table is situated in front of the cafe sign in front of Borders. Was it very far away from you?
It was about 20 feet away.
And about what time was it?
It was about 7 o'clock, I think.
How many police officers were involved?
About 4 or 5.
And did you get any? Did you hear anything about was this woman breaking windows?
Actually, it looks like they were actually not talking about a woman, but a young man, a minor named Lee, who knows, maybe the long hair made him look like a woman, or whatever. But I think that was actually that's the correction you should be thinking of throughout this. There may be 2 arrests, but subsequent discussion leads me to believe we're talking about Lee, a young man.
On the sidewalk, perhaps she was sitting within 14 feet of a building.
Well, her claim was that she threw a toothpick on the sidewalk and then they tried to arrest her.
Littering without a permit, eh? Uh-huh.
But someone else said she might have had something else on her or something. I'm not sure what.
Illegal substance which required 5 police officers to subdue her. Probably PCP, a lunatic of some kind.
Yeah, possibly.
I will inquire further. So we're talking with a man with a drum. What happened here?
I don't know his name, but he got he littered in front of a police officer, a bike officer, and immediately got physically restrained. And then another officer came up, and two of them restrained him and held him, and ended up searching his bag, searching his person at a great. He was like definitely saying, "I do not want to be searched. I refuse to be searched." And held him down. Finally, the cop cars rolled up, and they put the handcuffs on him. And he's like, all I did was throw a toothpick on the ground, you know." And a minute later, they hauled him up. That's not it.
How close were you to the situation?
Oh, it's like they were telling me to back off because I was saying selective enforcement. Because if a tourist or a shopper did that with a Gucci handbag and a shopping bag, they would not be handcuffing the person and carrying them off for littering. You write a citation for litter. You don't arrest somebody for litter. Straight up.
Now, who was the officer involved? Did you know the officer?
The two big Latino guys and then the short redheaded one. I don't know their names. I'm sorry. Came over. And then a really, really cute white guy.
Ow. Hey. And this all happened around what time?
It was about an hour ago. It was about 6:30 p.m.
And were many people witnesses to this?
Yes, about 50 of us on the street side here.
And were there any reaction from the crowd?
Yeah, we were all saying, "This ain't right." And, you know, it just seemed wrong. Handcuffing and searching and carrying somebody off for that toothpick right there on the ground.
The criminal toothpick is still here. I mean, the officer did not even remove the offending toothpick?
No, there it is.
He didn't take it into evidence?
No.
He didn't take a photo of him?
No.
I better take a picture of you pointing to it. Hang on. Oh, Damien, you saw the arrest. Tell me about it.
All I saw was the person saying, "Let go of me. You're hurting me. Please let go." And he kept asking, "Why am I being detained?" And he goes, "Because I threw a toothpick on the ground and stuff." And he was really upset. That's about it.
Arrested for throwing a toothpick. How many officers were involved?
I think 5. I'm not too sure.
About what time did this happen?
I have no idea. I didn't have a watch on me.
Did it happen right here?
Yeah.
We're actually at the corner where Borders is situated. And you weren't here for this, were you?
No, I was in Borders.
You got to watch your step there. That's what happens when you go into Borders. You miss things.
I miss everything.
Well, you're also petting some kind of a beast. What is this beast?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
A questionable beast. An imaginary beast. Yeah. So we're talking with... give me just a first name.
Why?
I'll call you Popcorn. So Popcorn, you say you heard that a man was arrested. This was free radio. We're doing this.
Okay. Yes, I did. Am I going to be on the radio?
You will be on the radio.
Cool. I'm going to be on the radio.
While eating popcorn, I might add. And what did you hear?
I just heard he threw a toothpick on the ground and he got arrested. That's all I heard.
And his name was?
Lee.
Did you know Lee?
No.
This is Short Lee. Is it? You don't even know who he is. Not sure. Let me ask Damien about this. Damien, was this Lee who was arrested? Is this Short Lee?
Yeah.
Little Lee?
Little Lee, who's like 15, I think. And they searched some of his parents, being notified. So I think that's illegal here, isn't it?
Well, maybe they, you know, maybe they have some sort of a, you know, a probation condition that he can't use toothpicks without a permit and he can't dispose of them on the ground.
I don't know, they searched for his stuff and it's like, he asked why.
Well, there might have been more toothpicks in his, you know, there could have been a serious toothpick question.
I don't know.
So we're talking with
Summer.
And is this your baby?
Yeah.
What's the name?
Raven.
So you didn't see the toothpick terrorist, but you heard about it, right?
Yeah.
And he terrified the police by dropping a toothpick on the ground.
That's right, and got arrested for it.
Now, you're relaxing here on a bench in front of Borders.
I'm blowing bubbles, which is also illegal.
And you're illegally blowing bubbles. Unless you are an actual bubble performer, are you a bubble performer?
Yeah.
You're not illegal then, you see.
Well,
no.
At least that's what I'm saying.
She says she's a bubble performer. Can we be sure? So, did you know this toothpick guy, Lee, who was, should we say, hauled off?
Yeah, I knew him.
Is he a confirmed toothpick user?
He is a confirmed toothpick user.
What is your name, ma'am?
My name is Michaela.
And Michaela, so this man has been known to use toothpicks before.
Lee is a toothpick user.
And he uses toothpicks.
And evidently he abuses them.
Well, the toothpick is actually still on the ground, you know.
Tom didn't even pick it up.
No, apparently it could have been a weapon of mass destruction, you see. And the man
he could have murdered lots of people with that toothpick.
I don't want to carry that too far because we don't want to be, you know, we don't be extremist in this. But still, we have to trust our local police, right?
I guess so.
Yeah, that's for sure.
If they say the toothpick, you know, is harmful, then I guess so. But also, they say that bubbles are harmful too. So you know.
Well, you can't be too careful. These are terrorist times. Thank you very much. We've been talking with
someone.
And with
Michaela.
Thank you both. And of course,
Raymond.
Young Raymond.
Toothpick criminal.
You are the toothpick criminal?
Yes, I am. I admit.
So what happened, please?
I did the filthy deed of throwing a toothpick in the planter.
And who was the officer who observed this?
Rodriguez and his other Mexican buddy.
And what did they say?
They said lots of stuff. I don't know.
Anything at all you remember?
Wendy
Bynes?
Yeah, Wendy said, I'm gonna grow up to be the next Robert Norris. I swear to God.
And you took that kind of insult without striking her?
Of course.
What were you doing before this happened? You were hanging.
I was asking them if they liked their jobs because they were harassing the kids on the avenue.
And what were they doing? What kind of harassment were they engaged in?
I don't know. They were just bothering them, sitting right there, all in their face. I don't know. I just walked across the street to talk to them.
And they didn't give you a ticket for jaywalking.
No, they didn't.
What was the first thing you remember them saying to you?
I don't remember what they said, but after I threw the toothpick, Rodriguez grabbed my arm, twisted behind my back, and started searching me.
And did you agree to that search?
No, of course not.
Did you harm anything?
Did you specifically say, I do not consent to this search, in one way or another?
Yeah, I said, why are you searching me? I haven't really, you know, like, they said they had the consent to search me. Like, I guess in case I had more toothpicks that I could throw on the ground. I don't know.
And so then what happened?
And so they put me in the car.
How many police were involved with this?
Four.
Who were the other? There was Wendy, the two, Martinez and his associate. I'm sorry, who are the officers involved? I got the wrong
name. I think it was Martinez and Rodriguez.
Okay. And Officer Bynes.
Yeah, there's a female officer that I didn't recognize that much. I haven't really seen her around town that much.
Did they say they were arresting you?
Yeah.
And what was the crime?
Littering.
And that's not normally, that's an infraction.
Mm-hmm.
So they usually, it's not appropriate to make a custodial arrest an infraction unless...
No, it isn't. They had to search me and find I had some cigarettes on me, so that's why they put me in the car.
I see. Well, that's still an infraction, I believe.
Apparently it's a misdemeanor.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're not only a toothpick criminal, you are a cigarette criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Were you selling those cigarettes to minors?
No.
Just smoking them.
So, what happened then? Where did they take you?
They took me to, what are those things called? The interrogation room things?
In the police department?
Yeah, yeah. And I was just kind of sitting there for a while, and I just had to wait there for days. Wendy gave me a motherly, Wendy gave me a motherly talk about law and, I don't know, all kinds of random shit.
Were you comforted?
Oh, no, definitely not.
And what did she tell you about the law that educated you further?
That they were there to protect people. And
you picked terrorists?
Yeah, I guess so.
You're such a terrorist person.
I guess so.
Bad picture.
Yes, you are.
You don't want to never know how you can use them, you know?
So now I think I'm going to go buy a pack of cigarettes and a lighter.
Because
they took the cigarettes and the lighter. I was pissed.
They left you with your lighter leash?
Yes.
So
the lighter leash itself is illegal.
Did they give you a ticket?
Yeah, but it holds a lighter.
Yeah.
Right,
it was two tickets in one, actually.
What were the tickets for?
It was one ticket, and it was both for littering and minor in possession of tobacco.
Oh, because of this little...
Did they ask you to sign anything?
Yeah, definitely. The thing that says, not agreeing to guilt, but you will agree to appear in court.
How many such similar criminal citations have you had?
A dozen.
And, is this another example of a toothpick recidivism? I mean, have you previously been seen dropping toothpicks on the avenue?
No.
How about smoking or carrying cigarettes?
Rodriguez has already given me two tickets for smoking.
I see. So, you're a repeat offender. This could be a third strike for you.
This is like the ninth strike or something for cigarettes. I don't know. Eight around there.
They used excessive force in this incident. And why do you say that?
Because they were hurting me.
How were they hurting you?
They twisted my arm behind my back, squished my fingers, and suffocated my arms with cuffs.
And it looks like your wrist is swollen.
Yeah, it's still got a little mark.
It appears to be swollen.
Like hours later.
It's so big and humongous.
Yeah, I was like, you guys are pretty brave. You took four cops to get one little 15-year-old boy. I told them that, and they didn't really have anything to say about that.
Well,
just proceeded to put me in the car.
Their quota.
Yeah.
Damn you,
I think I want to go talk to Dave.
All right, thank you, Lee. And again, what we're talking with?
Lee.
You want to give your full name?
Lee Wynn.
And how do you spell it?
W-Y-N-N.
Thanks, Lee.
No problem.
What's your court date, you know?
No idea. My mom has the ticket.
Okay. What did your mother have to say about this?
She's walking home.
Is she upset? Is she angry?
Well, yeah.
Is she angry with you?
Yeah.
And how do you feel?
I feel okay. It was bullshit, and I'm pissed that I lost my cigarettes, and I'm pissed that I lost my lighter. But it could have been worse. It could have been worse.
So you were ticketed for
camping on the beach.
And when did this happen?
Like last week.
Park ranger. What did the officers say to you? When did this happen? Like what time of day?
It was in the morning. He came and he woke us up and he just wrote us. He wrote us all tickets. There were four of us.
And which beach was it?
By the boardwalk.
And did he give you another place you could sleep or suggest there was a legal place?
Said take all your stuff and get up and sleep. So you're not allowed to camp on the beach and give us all tickets.
You're showing me. You were one of the people ticketed?
Yeah.
So let's see, it says camping, 6.36, that's the camping citation, and it's an 813. That's actually 27 minutes. Well, 17 minutes before it becomes legal. At 8:30, you are allowed to sleep on the beach.
It was like 7 something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it says, ticket says 7:55, this one says 8:15 or 8:13. They're both on the 18th of May. I hope this will teach you not to sleep anymore. You've got to train yourself better.
We're homeless. We don't have a place to stay.
First name is?
Alex.
Your first name?
Brian.
And you are?
Joe.
Were you involved? No. Okay, so the three of you were there with the fourth person. Had you been causing trouble, making a mess?
Sleeping, and they woke up. They woke us up.
It's on the ground and just laying there sleeping. Don't mess around, there's nothing.
Did they say they had received a complaint?
No.
And what do you intend to do tonight? How many nights have you slept out in the last month?
Every night.
And so you got tickets on one night, or were there other nights?
That was the first ticket we got for camping. We used to have a campsite, and the cops came and told us we had to leave and take our tent down and everything. It was in the woods, or not bothering anybody, just like deep in the woods.
And were these police officers like Santa Cruz Police? Were they deputies? Were they Brown? They were sheriffs? How long ago was that?
Huh?
How long ago was that?
Like a month and a half, 2 months ago.
So, you were kind of forced into a more public situation by the fact that they wouldn't let you stay in this campground.
Yeah.
Well, again, when I see these tickets, my recommendation is, unless you want to pay some huge amount of bail.
People shouldn't arrest people for sleeping.
That's for sure. If you want to fight them in court, you can contact HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. First thing to do is to disqualify the referee. That's the person who always hears them.
And that was Maybe's on the Street. We interrupt the interview for a live call from John. Hi, John.
Hello, I'm calling from the Human Rights Organization and also from the Mumia Coalition.
The Human Rights Organization and the Mumia.